Listen, everything is a business opportunity to somebody, even the end of the world. As reports about the looming impact of climate change become harder and harder to deny, every company on Earth is facing tough choices. A rapidly changing ecosystem is the world's biggest disruptor. So nearly every industry, regardless of their public stance on climate change or any lobbying they're doing, is planning for an uncertain future. And they are using the same data that so far hasn't seemed to motivate many governments to treat this as an emergency. Money talks, though, and a new report reveals the ways that various high-profile companies are doing their best to mitigate the losses and, of course, to maximize the profits of a world that might be on fire or underwater or both. Is it ethical? Is it responsible? Is it ironic that companies are taking action faster than most countries? Or is that just inevitable? After all, they've got shareholders to report to, and most governments just have people. So how does a company business plan for profits amid disaster? And is it really a branding win if people are using your app to plan their escape route to higher ground? I'm Jordan Heath Rawlings, and this is The Big Story.
We'll look back at all this time that we've spent debating whether this is real and think that might have been time we could have used talking about how to deal with it. And companies are clearly already at that point.
Christopher Flavelle is Bloomberg's climate adaptation reporter. Christopher, that is a fascinating title.
It's the only thing I cover.
What does that entail? Because I actually feel like we should start the interview here now, because that's a fascinating job description to me.
It is. So in the realm of climate change, most of the journalists on the climate beat tend to write, broadly speaking, about emissions, which is transportation, it's energy, it's international accords, everything that has to do with human activity that causes more greenhouse gases to enter the atmosphere. I've got a sort of a different part of the beat, which is what happens to businesses, governments, people, economies, buildings, infrastructure as a result of those emissions. What's the effect? And then, as the name suggests, how do we adapt to that? What do we change? What do we not change? How do we try to prepare for what climate change means in sort of tangible human terms?
So a number of high-profile companies from around the world, but you focused on the ones in America, have kind of had to quantify the impact that this will have to their business. How do they have to look at climate change with regards to their bottom line?
Yes, yeah, so the survey data and the reports I looked at really focused on two different impacts of climate change on big companies. The first was, what are the risks they face? Risks to their operations, risks to their customers, risks to their supply chain. How will it hurt them, in other words? And to my surprise, these companies tended to be pretty candid about the sort of variety of impacts that they expect, whether that is Coca-Cola saying that they might face water shortages at their bottling plants around the world, data companies, tech companies saying that their data centers might be harder to cool because of water and electricity. And then companies with sprawling supply chains. The modern company tends to have operations all over the place and to get inputs from all over the place. And I think rightly, most of these companies said, we're worried about the increase in extreme weather and sea level rise and what that will mean for our ability to keep getting all the components we need for our business from around the world. The list goes on. What's fascinating about this is the sort of variety of effects. Banks in America saying that they're worried that some portion of their mortgage portfolio could default as homeowners either go underwater or, probably more concerning, just stop carrying flood insurance and then go underwater. So this is sort of an interesting way into how companies, a group of entities with a lot of money on the line, see these risks. And what really jumps out at you is there's no debate in the corporate world about whether this is real. There's no debate about whether it's going to happen soon. It's happening. The only debate is what will the specific impacts be and how bad. In addition to the risks these companies see from climate change, they went into even more impressive candor about what they see as the opportunities.
Yeah.
So most of the companies that filed these reports listed a variety of ways in which they think that the effects of climate change could produce more revenue for them, whether that is more demand for existing products or finding new products to sell. So some examples that I think fit that, you had drug companies saying that as diseases that are currently mostly confined to the tropics spread to developed countries, there'll be more demand for malaria treatments, other kinds of tropical disease treatments. You had banks saying that as we get more and more disasters, there'll be more need to finance rebuilding, and they'll be around to take advantage of that. You had Google saying that there'll be more demand for some of its Google Earth Engine products as people want to better witness what's happening to the world.
Yeah, that one was amazing to me, that it's a branding. It can be construed as a branding win.
Yeah, and you know, I think I tried in the piece to avoid attaching any kind of, you know, ethical or moral lens to this. I don't think there's any reason to assume that there's anything untoward about this. If anything, as a journalist, I tend to take the view that transparency, all else being equal, is best. And so, again, I'm impressed by how willing companies were to discuss in terms that weren't always obviously cloaked in PR-type language, but were rather speaking directly, I think, to investors, saying this is what we're looking at in terms of more sales. I also try to stay away from predictions, but I think the following prediction is pretty safe. I think 5 years from now, 10 years from now, we'll look back at all this time that we spent debating whether this is real and think that might have been time we could have used talking about how to deal with it. And companies are clearly already at that point, right? They're already saying, how do we adjust? How do we protect ourselves where we can? How do we move operations? It's hard to avoid drawing the analogy with governments. It's a level of frankness that you don't often see from governments, especially in the United States, when it comes to dealing with climate change rather than sort of obfuscating or arguing about whether it's happening.
How do these companies, and you talk to some of them, game out these scenarios? Do they have a team that's kind of projecting various different things and then they're adjusting with each one? Or are they going with a certain type of research, or are they just speaking in more general terms?
So I think most big companies have fairly sophisticated risk management operations in general, and often that's the part of the company that will deal with climate risk. Even bigger companies will have specific teams of whether it's meteorologists or climatologists or just general scientists looking at this stuff. There is an amazingly well-developed ecosystem, at least in the U.S., of companies that specialize in predicting climate risk in specific areas and disaster types and sectors of the economy. So there's no shortage of places to get this data. And I think what we're seeing, what's surprising here, is that the companies are using it, right? And if you are so inclined as a company or as a government to find out what's likely to happen in a given area this year, next year, 5 years from now, that trend data, those predictions, those are out there, right? So I think one thing you hear in the U.S. is, why worry about climate change? We don't even know what's going to happen. This argument that we don't know what's going to happen, true on its face, but true for every prediction. What we certainly know is what the trends are. And what we're seeing with these companies is they are not waiting for some elusive degree of certainty to start planning for this. They're content to make plans based on the imperfect information that we have and make what seem to be pretty specific plans based on that.
Are we starting to see already that there will be maybe not even specific companies, but specific industries who will be sort of the winners and losers as this continues to progress?
So there's different views on that. Certainly, agriculture is a sector that you often hear is going to see a lot of action on this. Whether it's good or bad, we don't know. Big effects on agriculture, but also lots of room to innovate for companies that are forward-looking. Banking certainly will be affected because the companies that banks lend money to could be in trouble. Real estate, at least in the U.S., I think there's no universe in which climate change doesn't have a huge impact on real estate. We don't really know if on balance it'll be positive or negative, the insurance industry will be almost uniquely exposed to the effects of climate change. What we don't know about insurance is how well they'll deal with that risk. Certainly, there have been disasters in the past, Hurricane Andrew in Florida, and I think 92 was a great example, that really caused the insurance industry to stagger. But I think insurers are pretty alert to what's going on, and my sense is that they'll find a way to price that risk into their policies. So it's not clear at this point if there's any particular industry that will just collapse because of climate change. I think in most industries, as with most companies, it's a mix of pretty severe risk, but also opportunities. I don't get a sense from my reporting that there's any particular sense of panic in any one sector, but I do get the sense that there's a sense of a mood of uncertainty and concern, but also the attempt to think, how can we get ready for this?
How many of these companies are acting right now on these assessments and actually changing the way they do business today?
So that's the great complaint that you hear from environmentalists or groups that focus on climate risk. They say that there's an element of PR here, that for all the candor with which companies talk about this stuff, it's often not clear just what they're doing to prepare for it, to actually change their operations. It's always going to be anecdotal. I get the sense that companies changing their behavior are still the exception, that in general, there's a lot of sort of preparing and modeling and thinking about what to do, but not a lot of significant changes yet. Now, it's not clear that that's the wrong way to go. If you're a company, you could say, look, we're not going to change our business model until we have to, but what we're doing to be responsible is to be prepared for the moment when we have to, whether that's a particular big storm or, you know, really serious effects on their customers. But yeah, definitely the skeptics' take on all of this is that for all their planning and their discussion, they still aren't really ready for the next superstorm. And I think that's certainly a fair concern, but the kind of concern that you can't really test until something big happens.
Should ordinary people be looking to model their behavior after what some of these companies are doing? Like, should we be looking at our investments with an eye to how the various places we've got money invested are going to be impacted?
I think definitely anybody who's got funds that are actively managed should talk to whoever's managing those funds. Just say, what's your approach here? I mean, the problem with that is, if you're just a typical investor, it's not clear how much better you can do at planning for this than whoever is running your money. But I think certainly making sure that your portfolio manager is thinking about it is the first step. But I'm not convinced there's anybody in the world of finance who really has a good idea of how to deal with these threats and take advantage of them. But again, that baseline question of, are you thinking about it, is probably the one to be asking at this point.
As you're doing your reporting, is there any area where you think we're adapting well to this? Not necessarily just in business, but in terms of all the areas you look at.
You know, the optimist in me would like to say yes.
Oh, boy.
But I'm afraid that, the sweep of change attached with global warming is so significant that I think it might be a little bit too early to say which things we're doing well. I don't think we've even got our heads around which areas will require the most adaptation, let alone start asking how to do it. Certainly in the U.S., there's parts of the country that are most exposed to flooding and storms and sea level rise. Louisiana is the best example. They're already looking at ways to discourage people from remaining or building by coastlines that are going underwater, and how to relocate those who want help. Those are really hard discussions, and I think other parts of the country will be there eventually. So I think at this point, success is probably best defined as confronting the problem. But in terms of finding solutions that work, it doesn't seem like we're there yet. I try to avoid sounding like a doomsayer on this beat, but I really don't think it can be hard. I don't think that we really have a sense yet of how bad things will be. And I think it'll be hard to try to figure out what the right solutions will be at this point. I think at this point, probably the best thing we can do is be discussing it more and in more frank terms and acknowledging that the way we build homes, the places we build homes, the way we structure our businesses and where our infrastructure goes probably won't keep up with the challenge. But where we go from there, I don't think anybody can answer that right now.
Well, there really is an aspect to the reporting you did around corporate America preparing for it that I thought helped at least me and a couple people I've talked to about it picture it, which is when you did so matter-of-factly report what companies are doing with things that don't even necessarily affect their line of business. And the one that stuck out to me was Visa talking about travel will decline, right? And of course, the reason they gave in that report is, well, you know, the world's going to be on fire and there's going to be wars all over the place, so we should adjust for a decline in people traveling with our cards, which is, you know, on the one hand can sound callous, but on the other hand drives it home so much how everyday things will change.
Yeah, I think the problem with adapting to climate change is that most humans tend not to be quite as cool and dispassionate as Visa was in that case in saying, well, there's going to be more disaster all the place, the world will be on fire, so let's get ready for 10% less travel. There's an emotional component to all of this, which makes rational planning very difficult. And there are people who look at it from the emotional perspective. They say, we can't really prepare for climate change until we get better as a society at dealing with grief and dealing with loss and dealing with sadness, which is, you know, look, not the most upbeat take on this, but there's a psychological component to climate adaptation that is not chipper, and that people in academia and I think at companies are starting to look at, and it tells me that before we can talk about solutions to this, probably we have to get better at grappling with how bad it is and just discussing the problem in realistic terms.
Well, and if there's one thing that companies are good at, it's looking at lines of business that are no longer working and, you know, not mourning them or grieving them, but just kind of moving on, right?
Yeah, and I think, you know, there's a fair point you made that you wouldn't want governments or people to adopt the same sort of cold-blooded approach,
right,
that you see in these reports, right? You wouldn't want a state or a province or a federal government to say, well, this town can't last, let's just get rid of it, let's just move it or stop supporting it, right? There's an inherently sort of social good question that companies don't have to worry about that everyone else does, which I think will make it hard for, say, governments to approach this with the same level of just follow the numbers analysis that companies have. But there is something to be said for companies' sort of clear-eyed take on this, which is, let's not pretend that something we don't want to happen therefore won't happen. Let's get realistic about what will happen and just start thinking about what to do. And that's probably the lesson for governments and for people from these reports, which is start by being honest about what you know and then take it from there.
Christopher Flavel, Bloomberg's climate adaptation reporter, which is a thing now. Welcome to the new world. That was The Big Story. For more from us, visit us at thebigstorypodcast.ca. We've covered climate change a lot, sadly. And of course, we are at frequencypodcastnetwork.com, along with our other shows. We are on Twitter, at frequencypods, or at thebigstoryfpn. And we are, as always, everywhere you get podcasts on Apple, Google, Stitcher, Spotify, Podcast Addict, or AntennaPod. I'm Jordan Heath-Rawlings. Thanks for listening. We'll talk tomorrow.